appreciate this opportunity to preach. It's only been a couple times since I've called preach that I have not accepted invitation to preach. There was circumstances that wouldn't allow it those times, but 40 years ago this month, I surrendered to the ministry, or began to surrender, I guess you could put it in those terms. And it's one of the greatest honors that God can give man, but it's one of the most frightening things. Knowing what to preach at the exact time and is a great task. And as far as our trip up here, I had talked to Brother Dan at Thanksgiving time and told him that we probably would be making a trip up here, and thought it might be before this. But just pray for my two sisters and I. It's the first that we've experienced the death of a sibling. And we lost grandparents. We lost parents, aunts and uncles, cousins. It's a little different when you lose a sibling. In her life, her death was a result of her lifestyle. I'll not go into that. But it's not any easier. But hopefully those who knew her, when they see the results, will say, that's not the kind of life I want. But this morning, we'd ask you also to pray for Northside Baptist Church, as we want to look first in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Brother Greg Wynn is preaching for us this morning. One of the members volunteered to take the whole church over to her house and feed them, and then this after services today. And so just pray for them is in our absence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we want to read verse 7. He says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Now in this verse, or in this chapter, we know the story. The young man had been living with his stepmother in fornication, and Paul is giving them instruction to discipline him and to purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And what we want to preach upon this morning is Christ, our Passover. But when you look at what the instructions Paul is giving us here and the comparison of Christ as our Passover, you have to go back in your mind, and we're going to be going back to Exodus here throughout this message some, but you have to go back and you have to see what Paul is talking about as far as the purging out of sin. Israel had been in bondage in Egypt for many years, and the Egyptians had forced them into slave labor, and they began to cry upon to the Lord as reason of their task. And God sent Moses and Aaron to lead them out of Egypt. Now they were in bondage. And as this chapter we see, there was a bondage of sin. Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of sin. The church at Corinth here, they had this young man who was in the bondage of sin. And Paul, in telling them to purge out the old leaven, is telling them you need to clean the slate, you need to get rid of the sin. In Israel's position in Egypt, they needed to be rid of the bondage. And God sent Moses and Aaron to lead them out. Now there were 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. And each of those plagues was a mockery by God of the various gods of the Egyptians. The final plague was the death of the firstborn. And this is where we have the comparison here of Christ, our Passover. In the 12th chapter of Exodus, which we'll go to in a few moments, was the first Passover. And that Passover lamb was a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Passover was finished, when they had eaten their lamb of the first year and applied the blood upon the doorpost and upon the upper doorpost, and the death angel came over Egypt, and all the Israelites who had that blood applied to their doorpost and the upper doorpost and were within their residence, when the death angel come over, they did not suffer death of the firstborn. Everyone of the Egyptians, from Pharaoh on down to the beast of the field, suffered the loss of the firstborn that night. And the Egyptians literally threw Israel out. They wanted them to go. And when we see this comparison between the original Passover here for Israel to be released from the bondage of sin, and we see Christ our Passover, whom we have believed in, when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, or when we believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, He is our Passover. The blood has been applied. And when the death angel comes, death will pass over us. Now, we'll all experience physical death if we live long enough upon this earth, if the Lord does not rapture us out. We're going to experience physical death. But the death angel will pass over us when it comes to eternal death. And we want to consider some things concerning Christ our Passover this morning. First of all, we want to note in Exodus chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12, that after all these plagues had been brought upon, for some of the early plagues, Israel suffered. The later plagues, they did not. They did not suffer the death of the firstborn. But we see here in verses, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." So the Passover lamb he's talking about here. And when we look back further in the scriptures, when Abraham was commanded of God to take Isaac, his own only son, the one whom God had promised that the Messiah, the seed, promised seed would come through, to take him to a mountain that he would show him. It was Mount Moriah. And take him up and sacrifice him. Abraham spoke to Isaac, and Isaac was willing. He believed in what his father told him. We're going to go sacrifice. And as they got to Mount Moriah, and God said, "This is where, Abraham." And they began to walk up that mountain. And Isaac said, "Father," and he says, "Yes, my son." He says, "Here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" And he said, "God will provide himself with a lamb." The Passover is a lamb. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking down to the River Jordan, when John the Baptist was baptizing, and he looked up and seen Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When Joseph was taking Mary with a mind to put her away when he found she was with child before their marriage was consummated, they were espoused to one another. And he was going to put her away, and the angel came to him in a dream and said, "Put her not away. She's a child of the Holy Spirit. And when she brings forth her firstborn son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins." We see this then if we look at this story or this event in 1 Corinthians 5. And Paul commands them to purge out this sin. For Jesus, or as Jesus, he says, is our Passover. He's our Passover lamb. And as we see here in Exodus, each household was to take a lamb. And as we go on down here in verse 4, he says, "And if the household be little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him," or unto his house, "take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or of the goats." You had to have a lamb without blemish. But as we see this here, they were to separate the lamb on the 10th day. And it wasn't until the 14th day that they was to slay this lamb. Now, when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came into this world, and John announced him or revealed him as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, there was a time that he was walked upon this earth. And it was like a testing time. And there was various testings that he went through from his youth to the time that he actually was nailed to the cross and bore our sins. There was a time when he was about 2 years of age when the wise men came. Didn't come to his birth. They came when he was about 2 years old. They were living in a house and they inquired, "Where's this child?" They had followed the star during that time. When Herod found this out, he says, "Tell me when you find him. I want to go worship him." But when they came to the house and they gave the gifts unto the Lord Jesus Christ, again an angel spoke unto Joseph, said, "Take the child to Egypt." This was all part of fulfilling of the scriptures. Herod put out the word, and all the male children from 2 years under were slain at that time because he didn't want a king to put him off the throne. As they came back, the next event we see was when he was 12 years of age, and his parents had come to observe the Passover. He stayed behind. And you get, sometimes I've heard people try to make a big deal that he was a disobedient child. And Joseph and Mary were irresponsible parents. In those days, they traveled in caravans, the whole family from whatever area they were to observe the Passover. But we see he remained behind and was sitting in the temple, talking with the doctors of the law. In other words, they would be the great theologians of that day, asking questions, answering questions, and they're all amazed. These testing times. And then as we go through his life, and we see when he went to John that day and was baptized of John, immediately he went out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was tempted of the Lord, or of Satan. And Satan fled from him. He did all of this leading up to the time that he would be our Passover. But our Passover, don't get in your mind as I did at one time in my life when I'd hear these stories, that these things took place in time as we see things in time. We don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. And as things take place tomorrow, we'll make plans. We made plans when we come up here in the event of my sister's death. God planned and purposed all this before the foundation of the world. The Bible tells us he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. None of this took place with God as a surprise. God is God. He's eternal. He knew the beginning and he knows the ending of time. He planned and purposed it all. And he has given us this written record we have, and given us the examples that we have. And one is the initial Passover. Jesus Christ is our Passover. The Lamb, as we see here in these verses, had to be, in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or out of the goats. Without blemish. It means it had to be a perfect lamb. Could not be any specks upon that lamb that it could be described as being imperfect. And when you think about that, again, look back into Genesis. When Jacob was with his father-in-law Laban, and they had made an agreement, Jacob could have all of the sheep that were considered not perfect. The ones that were ring-necked, the ones that were spotted, and so forth. So when you look here, the lamb had to be perfect. Without spot, as the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're getting a description of Christ, who is our Passover. 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 18 beginning verse 18, he says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers." I'll stop for a second here. When he's describing the Lord Jesus Christ without spot or wrinkle, he says, "We haven't been redeemed with things as silver and gold." Okay, you can take silver and gold when it's mined out of the ground and it's, you know, it's dirty and it's melted down, all the impurities are burnt out, and you have, when you have the finished product, you know, you have this shiny gold and the shiny silver. But if you just leave it set, it's not going to stay pure. It's going to be harmed by the elements of this world. So we aren't, you know, silver and gold. It's not going to meet the qualifications or the demands of God. He says, "Received by the traditions of your fathers." Okay, when you think of that, Israel, they were in Egypt. The Egyptians had all these gods. They observed all these various gods. And man, through the history of mankind, has been religious. And he has always attached something that he can see or feel to or imagine within his mind as God. Our Passover isn't as such. He says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That lamb, that Passover lamb, that had to be without spot or without blemish. The Lord Jesus Christ is a lamb without spot and without blemish. And we know, we understand that this means through his lifetime, from the time that he entered this world to the time that he hung upon the cross, he himself had no sin. He was perfect. He was without blemish. Now, Israel dwelt in Egypt. They dwelt in sin. And in order for the Egyptians to release them, there had to be a Passover lamb. There had to be a perfect sacrifice to protect Israel. And Israel was protected. As they were in their homes and they sacrificed their lamb, and we know their lamb had to be roasted, and we'll speak some more things about the perfection of this, but the lamb must be slain that we can live, that we can live and be resurrected at the end of time. Israel's lamb had to be sacrificed, had to be roasted, the blood had to be applied, that when the death angel came over Egypt and the death of the firstborn took place, the next day Pharaoh said, "Get him out of here. Get Israel out of here." The Egyptians wanted him to go. And I got some news for you. Don't get too attached to this world, because the world wants us out of here. And we will go because of our Passover. Because of our Passover. The lamb, as we see in verse 6, was slain on the 14th day. He says, "And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at the evening." So after this time of testing, there was 4 days here. 4 days that this lamb was separated. And after the fourth day, this perfect lamb was slain. The blood was shed, and the blood was applied to the doorpost and the upper doorpost. After the testing time, when the fullness of time was come, the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world, and 33 and a half years later, when the fullness of time came, he went to the cross. We understand that he went through the Pilate's court. We understand the scourging that he endured, the crown of thorns that he was planted within his brow. His beard was plucked. His face was slapped. He was spat upon and led to Calvary's hill and was nailed to that cross. And if you've ever studied anything upon those crucifixions of the Romans, when they nailed those bodies to those crosses, and that, well, I believe it was like a pole. But anyway, the hole was there, and they'd pick those poles up and they'd let them drop into those holes. In the pain that he endured for us. But at that time, we're told he became sin for us. All of my sin debt, from the time I entered this world to the time that I depart, all of your sin debt, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He is our Passover. As he suffered upon that cross, and he endured the wrath of God, that wrath of God was so intense upon his body that his very heart melted within his body. And after those many hours upon the cross, when the earth turned dark and God turned his back upon him and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was paying the price of our sin. He was the Passover lamb for us. He endured that upon the cross for us. He is our Passover lamb. But as this lamb, also there are some other things concerning him as our Passover. This lamb, as it was slain, it had to be roasted. We've already mentioned the heat of the wrath of God. But also, this lamb has shed his blood. But the bones, not one bone of this lamb could be broken. Even though they feasted upon the meat, no bones could be broken. So we look back in John chapter 19, when the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had given up the ghost, given up his life, let's go back to verse 29. It says, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now when he said it's finished here, it was finished. In other words, our sin debt was paid for. God accepted the sacrifice. Just as when that death angel passed over Egypt and seen the blood applied to the doors of the Israelites, the death angel passed over. The firstborn of Israel did not die. It's finished. It's finished. But he goes on, he says, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. In other words, if they was coming up, crucifixion coming up on, near the high day, which was the Passover day, the legs of those who were living would be broken to get the death would come quicker. He says, Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the second other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers which with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. Jesus had given up the ghost. He is our Passover lamb. When eternal condemnation comes, I believe we're going to be in the jury box myself, but when that day comes, when the dead of this world, those who die in their sins, when they're judged and cast into eternal condemnation, eternal death, the death angel will have passed over us. Because Jesus Christ is our Passover. He is our Passover. Not one bone of his was broken. The blood had to be applied. It was applied to the door post and the over door. But the blood of Christ was applied. It was applied as we look back in the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews. The ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews. We'll begin reading in verse 21 here. It says, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. We'll stop here for a second. Remember in our opening verse, Paul said, purge out the old leaven. Purge out the sin. He says, and almost all things by the law purged with blood. They're purified, they're cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Remission meaning forgiveness. There's no forgiveness. It was necessary, or therefore necessary, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purged with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. It was necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens, in other words, again, Egypt or Israel going down to Egypt, the Passover, when they were thrown out of Egypt, the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this world and dying for us, it wasn't just happenstance. It was planned and purposed by God. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the patterns in which God decreed before the foundation of the world. And when we say God, we're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as they purposed time. And he ascended back into heaven when he arose the first day of the week. And Magdalene come to him and he said, "Don't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father." He ascended before he met that first day with the apostles. He ascended back into heaven and he sprinkled his blood upon that eternal mercy seat that was not made with hands. And our Passover was finished. Our Passover was completed. The sacrifice was accepted by God. The blood had been applied. The death angel will pass over us. We will not see death. And as you read on, and we're not going to read that entire story, read that entire 12th chapter of Exodus and think about what took place there. And sometimes it's kind of puzzling to people because the Passover lamb had to be eaten. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to turn there either, but in John chapter 6, spoke of us eating of his body. We don't physically eat the body of Christ. We don't physically drink the blood of Christ. But in spirit, when we receive Christ our Passover, when we believe upon him, we have received his flesh as sacrifice. We've received his blood as the covering of our sin. He is our Passover. He is the only Passover. He is the only salvation that God has provided for man. Without faith in that sacrifice, you have no eternal life. And again, when you think about Israel in the Passover, any Israelite that had not had faith that day and didn't sacrifice a lamb of the first year without blemish and put that blood upon the doorpost and the upper doorpost would have suffered the death of the firstborn. Without faith in Jesus Christ as your Passover, you will suffer death. There's no other alternatives. It's God's way or no way. Amen. And man throughout his history has tried to devise ways that supersede God's. The first one was Cain. God had left an example, which I believe Adam and Eve taught their sons. You bring a blood sacrifice at that time to the entrance to the Garden of Eden before those angels that had the fire. And you bring it. And God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice. But he didn't unto Cain's. Cain brought that which he had grown of his own hands. And as he brought it, he said, "God, you have to take what I'm bringing you." God says, "No, you have to bring what I have commanded. You have to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, or you have no Passover." Jesus Christ is our Passover.